Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as we obviously sense that Mitt Romney will be the Republican nominee, a lot of folks are looking at the electoral map to see where he can pick up states that John McCain clearly didn't win. A lot of people are assuming that if for any chance for Romney to win, he's got to win back three that have traditionally gone Republican. One is Indiana, one is Virginia, one is North Carolina. Indiana looking pretty good, Virginia very much up in the air. And North Carolina had been very tight until recently. The latest Rasmussen poll before the one that just came out had Romney up 46-44. Now he's up 51-43. That is obviously outside the margin of error and has Romney over 50%. These things can fluctuate, but it's also worth noting in there that a lot more people think the economy is horrible than is on the mend. You've got independents now tilting towards Romney, whereas in the last poll they were split evenly, and so right now, it looks like the trends in a state that Romney's got to have are looking good for him.
Well, it's all going to change once the Democrats hold a convention there, Greg.
Right.
So, Obama's got nothing to worry about. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of people will look at this result and say, this is Obama's position on same-sex marriage coming back to bite him. That it was exactly, 2 days after North Carolina voters overwhelmingly passed a referendum that would ban not just same-sex marriage, but also civil unions. North Carolina is a state that is not enamored with gay marriage or gay civil unions, and thus they are turning against the president. The number that jumps out at me, though, is that 11% of North Carolina voters describe the U.S. economy as good or excellent. Unemployment is higher in North Carolina than is the national average. Last time I checked, it had the fourth highest unemployment rate in the country. This is not good news for Democrats. This is going to have people frustrated. This is going to have people not happy with the current leadership and looking for change. I think it is safe to say that, look, we'll have to see other polls come out and kind of confirm this trend, but it's really not that surprising that at some point the Obama campaign is going to have to do triage. And the question will be, do they go through the motions of trying to play in North Carolina through the convention? Or at some point, does it just become obvious that, look, they're going to need Ohio. There's a poll out from Public Policy Polling that had Romney within one Wisconsin. That poll was a little bit strange in that it was basically, as Public Policy Polling put it, everybody who answered the phone said they were a likely voter. This is in the middle of the recall election, and so people are very politically charged right there. But this is, North Carolina is a state that Obama may look like a luxury for the Obama campaign fairly soon. And if he continues to trail by like 8% and look like a much more traditional political environment, and North Carolina appearing to hew to its traditional Republican roots, then maybe, this is one more in the Romney column, and he can focus on kind of that upper Midwest, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Iowa states.
That would be a great trend. The question is whether Obama's ego will allow him to let it go, since he won it last time, but just barely, in an election cycle that clearly favored him in a number of ways. I don't remember George W. Bush trying to all that hard to win New York in 2004, but we'll see. We'll see.
It's worth noting, remember, having the illustrious John Edwards on the ticket in 2004. Moved, I believe it was, of Bush winning in by about 12 percentage points in 2000 to 11 percentage points. So John Edwards, the powerhouse that he is, moved one percentage point in the veep slot. We'll see if there's, any other tricks up the Obama campaign sleeve. But this is a state that's traditionally been pretty darn Republican. And I think, it's possible that 2008 is going to look more and more like just kind of a unique set of circumstances.
On to martini number two now, Jim, and I certainly don't watch The View. I'm guessing you don't either. We both have better things to do, which would be just about anything. But yesterday, the president found time to spend with the ladies of The View. That means he didn't have time to focus on jobs or the economy. He's apparently doing that today, or at least having a photo op on that today. But anyway, of course, The View is not exact Hardball or Crossfire, and even Hardball's kind of
come on, those are some tough questions of the Kardashians there, Greg. And Obama had them. So this man is focused on what he needs to do as president. He is keeping up with the Kardashians.
Absolutely.
That's about the recession, but he keeps up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, so here's the toughest question he probably got in the entire interview, and just watch where the president's instincts go on this.
So now you've officially kicked off your campaign mm-hmm. for a second term. Yeah. It was tight with John McCain back right. in 2008. So how tight do you think it's going to be with Mitt Romney?
When your name is Barack Obama, it's always tight.
It's
Barack Hussein Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, there you go. First of all, it wasn't that close with John McCain. So apparently you won despite your name. So basically he's saying he won despite the massive bigotry of the people of the United States. After all that cheering, which suggested that Jim, that his pandering to the lowest common denominator actually worked, at least with that audience. He went on to stammer for a good 4 or 5 seconds when Barbara Walters followed up, and eventually he got around to trying to say that despite the heroic efforts of his administration to improve the economy, there are still some folks hurting out there, and they're going to explore all their options, so therefore it'll be a close election. Jim, I'm not sure how much more I can put up with this, but hopefully it won't be any more than about, what is it, 6 months now?
I have to give a little bit of credit to Barbara Walters, who, you know, we've been making fun of for, if you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be, you know, style questions for a really long time. Obama is asked, you know, a fairly softball, but just an observation of, look, you know, your reelection is not looking like a sure thing by any stretch of the imagination. Why do you think this is? And as I think Ala Pundit had said, this is almost a verbal tic for the president, that he's used to saying, well, you know, with a name like this, it's always tight. The idea being that people are turned off or repelled by his allegedly exotic sounding name. Now, Greg, can you be the most famous man in the world for like 4 to 6 years and still be an exotic sounding name? I mean, this is kind of, you know, you see the word Barack Obama in print slightly more often than the word the these days. And so the idea that this is, oh, Obama. What is his name, like Osama? Oh, this is so scary and strange. Look, he's a very well-known quantity right now. So this is a similar line that he used back in 2008 to go after McCain. And so the idea that he's going to say, well, it's the exoticness of his name and background that is repelling people is extraordinarily insulting. It's extraordinarily arrogant. And I think that this kind of just indicates that this is an ominous thought. When you enter the presidency, I think all of your flaws, one way or another, come to the fore. Inevitably, whatever flaws you have as a person are going to get in, are going to come out and manifest themselves in the way you lead, attempt to lead the country. And I think for Barack Obama, it is this knee-jerk instinct that his critics do not have good motives, that they are xenophobic, that they are racist, that they are ignorant, they are clinging bitterly to their guns and religion, etc. And so he is just kind of his instinct in these circumstances is to say this sort of thing. And that even Barbara Walters comes in and says, why would you say this now after 4 years is what she gets in there. And then he goes to the economics talk. But it's kind of, you know, you could almost see for her that was too much to take. And I think this is one of those circumstances in which the bad martini is probably a good martini for conservatives, Republicans, and foes of Obama, that he's behaving so arrogantly. On the other hand, this kind of subtle demagoguery, this kind of subtle race baiting is really not helpful. The implication that his critics are racist is probably, you know, not good for the country as a whole because it's just so intellectually dishonest.
Jim, was Justin Bieber coming on the show later, or was that crowd like the way it is every day? I don't know, but the way they shrieked when they said his name was kind of trouble.
Yeah, I'd love to, you know, kind of just sit down each person in that audience and say, why are you screaming? Woo-hoo, America's racist. Woo-hoo, America's racist people by the last name. You know, the other theory is people much cooler than I would say tight is another, is a, you know, synonym for cool. So when your name is Barack Obama, it's always cool. But that just makes him sound like a jerk, Greg. We open every three martini and say, you know, Greg, when your name is Jim Garrity, it's always cool. You know, no. You'd be, you know, at the end of the three martini lunch, you're like, oh, just shut up. And we would just. The other observation I had this morning is that there was the television critic for Entertainment Weekly has, I guess, seen too much of The View and Jimmy Fallon and all of these other lighthearted appearances that President Obama does, that he's now saying, you know, Mr. President, it's time for you to do some serious stuff. You know, I don't want to see the President of the United States talking about Kim Kardashian and 50 Shades of Grey and all these other pop culture topics. And I think it's kind of fascinating that an entertainment columnist is saying that they're seeing too much of the president.
Well, if Romney wins, maybe Obama can replace the Dos Equis guy and become the most interesting man in the world or something.
But he's not. He's not that interesting, right? First of all, it's Gingrich who would be telling us to stay profoundly thirsty. And Newt really is, you know, Newt is genuinely, you know, arguably the most interesting man in the world. Obama is just the most overexposed man in the world.
But. Yeah, I think you're right. And it couldn't possibly be because his record has put this country in far worse straits than when he took office. And we know that that's not the case as we head to martini number three now because the president – has not only done great things in his 3.5 years in office, but he has followed up on the greatest attribute of every president since Calvin Coolidge, with the odd exception of Gerald Ford. The president, if you go onto the White House website of the bios of previous presidents, all the way back to Calvin Coolidge to the present, with the exception of Ford, they talk about obviously what was accomplished during those administrations, and then they add in there, which no other administration has done before, and Barack Obama's following up on whether it's Medicare under Lyndon Johnson with Obamacare. Ronald Reagan talked about tax fairness, and so Barack Obama is coming up with the Buffett rule to continue on that legacy. So not only is he full of himself, he's trying to rewrite history a little bit here.
The parallel that I saw over at commentary, I think it's quite, isn't this a little Kim Jong-ilish to you, Greg? I mean, this isn't he swell? We have to work in the name of dear leader in every single topic and every single conversation and everything we discuss. I mean, I'm not saying that President Obama is the first North Korean American president. I mean, it's not like he ate a dog. Oh, wait, he did eat. Anyway, so send all of your criticism and hate mail to Greg Corumbus at Radio America. There's something kind of creepy about this. And I was making the observation in the morning jolt. It's not like Obama writes these things himself. So as everyone's saying, oh, this shows the narcissism of Obama. I don't think actually, I mean, we can argue about whether Obama is a narcissist. And I think after that performance in The View, it's really not that hard to dispute that. But I think what's more interesting about these particular manifestation of the cult of personality around Obama is this mentality of people within the White House, like no one around the White House said this is a really bad idea. That you know, the history sections of the White House website that, you know, little kids use to write school reports and stuff like that don't need, oh, look what Obama did in the listings for every other U.S. president. You know, it's not like every other U.S. presidency was merely setting the stage for Obama to play the role of munificent sun king, as he increasingly seems to be treated by those around him. And, you know, if there really is this mentality that Barack Obama is the greatest thing since sliced bread and he has done so many wonderful things that are echoed historically, and that this has to be mentioned in you know, even routine, nonpartisan, non-political sections of the White House website. Well, if he's making a mistake, you get the feeling there's no one around to tell him this is a bad idea, Mr. President. I mean, it's one of those things where I never thought I'd find the day when I'm yearning for the smooth, melodious, easygoing tones of Rahm Emanuel in the halls of the White House. But, I mean, Greg, you think about this, like, who around that White House will say, Mr. President, I know you feel strongly about this, but I think you're really making a mistake. Maybe Michelle, maybe David Axelrod. There's no one around to save Obama from himself when his instincts are leading him in the wrong direction. And, you know, being surrounded by yes men and sycophants and everybody else who's trying to think he thinks he's as swell as he does. It's a very dangerous formula there. There's probably an element of this in every White House. But I think when you see this kind of Wikipediaization of the White House website, I think it indicates just how out of control this is and how unnerving this is.
Jim, have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.